I'm gonna call this meeting to order, please. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'm sure there was some great conversation going on between this, but time to move forward. Okay, so my agenda is right here.
If anybody would like an agenda, it's here. Feel free.
It's super short.
Okay, roll call. Counselor Cunningham.
Here.
Counselor White.
Here.
Counselor Hobson.
Here.
Counselor Anderson.
Here.
And I'm here. So that's all five of us. Andy.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
We have none, Your Honor.
Thank you. Consent agenda. I'm looking for a motion, please, to approve the minutes from March 20th. Or have any discussion on those minutes?
I'd like to approve the minutes.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to?
Yeah.
Please push the dais and.
Yeah, I'm Don Crozier, 601 Carroll Street, right over there. I want to know from the City Council if they have any ordinances as per generators running 24/7.
I do believe that's a noise ordinance. Is that right, Mr. Bauer?
That's correct.
I have one for 2.5 months in my back door running steady every day, all day long, all night long.
Sounds to me like someone doesn't have power supply.
My name is Kimberly Manning. My address is 210 Carey Street, but this is my dad and I own that property. We have already spoke to the police about this property. The police know about this property. There is numerous people and cars and trailers living on this property.
There's homeless people by the galore.
And the comment was, I'm not sure what we can do about it because of the rules that they have in place. But bottom line is that they're running it all the time.
24/7.
Mr.
It's running right now when I come out the door.
What's the address of the property, subject property?
I think it's 608. It's Colleen Perkins.
And that's Carroll Street?
Yes.
Yeah. We're 601.
We're 601.
And so we face this way, actually, if you were to see his house. His house faces this way, but his driveways are off of the other street, and it's the one right behind it.
And it's very annoying.
I can imagine.
Yes, absolutely, we can deal with that.
Okay. So,
anything else?
Yeah, I've got a second matter.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Kimberly Manning, and the address is 310 Northwest Douglas Boulevard. I have Johnny's Drive-In.
Okay.
I have spoken to Ms. White in regards to the property. I put in a brand new parking lot 5 years ago. My parking lot is sinking because the neighbor on this side of me raised his property, put in incorrect drainage, and is draining his property onto my property.
Okay. Thomas?
Didn't that come up sometime before?
Yes, it has, and nothing. I have heard nothing about it, and nothing has been done about it.
I remember that.
Yes, sir. We spoke directly to you guys. We first spoke to the city, and then we spoke directly to you and Ms. White about it.
Yes.
And I have had no responses to it.
Andy, I'm glad you're here.
Do you have anything to offer?
So,
is that a Thomas thing?
Yeah, so we did do a site visit, and we did have a conversation with the property owner in regards to bringing in fill material and how that would fall under the grading permit. Anytime you do that, you know, just kind of detract against the drainage or cause a detriment to a neighboring property. Sounds like that's happening on yours. And essentially that was forwarded to compliance. We'll have to follow up and see where they are internally with that process.
Unfortunately, it may come down to a civil matter between
okay,
you and
I was
the
just
addition.
Trying to follow everything in protocol and not trying to cause problems, but my parking lot is starting to sink. I mean, I'm getting potholes in it.
Did he did the affecting neighbor, did he ever put a gutter or anything on there for his, because right now, if I recall, he needs to put one of the things, you know.
The wrong way, the gutter?
I think putting a gutter or something on there, because he has a pipe in there. Because when
but ODOT, is it the correct pipe, sir?
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but I know when ODOT did that, there was all these drainage issues through there, and they got that little drainage issue that's often down
right,
below.
Right, the drainage that is right on the very corner of my property that goes nowhere.
Right, because we met ODOT out there. I think it was you and your husband. We met out there, and we looked at that situation with that drainage, and then kind of looked at, because he added that metal roof in there. But I think it's something we can check into a little bit on our side, too.
We will review it and get back to you
thank you, sir.
As soon as we can.
I appreciate it.
Have you spoken with the neighbor and probably got a negative response?
Yes. And, we spoke with him when he was putting it in, and he put in perforated pipe to do a drain line in there, all the way around perforated pipe. And my husband's like, you can't use perforated pipe. You have to use the pipe that's the solid on the bottom and perforated on the top so it'll drain out. Well, then I think they changed it and put it in upside down. I don't know. I don't know the whole of it, but I'm not trying to be a pain.
I have a lot in a parking lot
that I try and keep a business running, and it's turning to mush. I mean, it was bad when we put it in there because you could literally stand on the mud there, and the mud would just go like this.
So you had a perfectly good trampoline.
Yes, I did.
And now you've lost it.
I don't
understand the problem.
It was really kind of cool to see. So we knew when we did it the way that we did it, we put in drainage too. So
I get that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
Thomas, would they not have to have a permit to put in all that stuff? The drainage and all that?
We have a grading permit that regulates things in that regard.
Yeah, but the question is, I wondered if they actually did a permit.
He did not do a permit.
We confirmed that. Should be looked into?
Yeah, I mean, that perforated pipe, so the storm system is higher, and so it's very difficult, I think, for that pipe to make grade. So he is dealing with an issue just this side of pumping it, but there are two elements of it. He may be able to fulfill the grading permit requirements. It may not fix the issue, and it may transition into, or may be a civil issue. So
yeah,
it might
the
be
bottom
both.
Line is, the question is, was there or was there not a permit issue?
Correct, there wasn't.
Then that is a liability on part of that owner, is it not?
Yeah, that's something that we did correlate with compliance on. It's something we can follow up with their department.
Good, thank you.
Anybody else like to speak to council? Thank you. Reports, boards, commissions, committees, and you almost missed your chance.
I was rethinking, do I want to get up here in front of everybody?
Well, hey.
No, I didn't. But
we have all kinds of time for you to make up your mind.
Okay, cool. I'll be back here. Just call me. My name's Tammy Wiedemann. I live at 13917 Looking Glass Road. I and Cheryl Starr at the last meeting discussed a lot of things that we'd like to see done on Looking Glass Road. I was asked to do a diagram by Mr. Cunningham to explain the four-way, Apollo, Plum, and Looking Glass. A third grader did this.
So he'll understand it then.
I'll explain it to you.
Thank you.
So, there you go.
Oh.
That's some of this is hoopy-doo, too, I think,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but the whole bottom line is the picture's worth a thousand words.
Thank you.
It's easy. That's easier to,
instead
of me explaining every little growth.
Thank you. Mr. Bauer, is this an Andy thing? Is this a chief thing? Who do we, where do we go from here? Thomas thing?
I'm sorry, what is the...
It's the Looking Glass...
Stop sign,
four-way stop sign on Looking Glass and Plum, Apollo Court.
Oh, yeah. They want to put a four-way stop on Looking Glass. Okay, so it's, they want to, so the question is a request for a four-way stop at this location?
Some kind of traffic control. I'm not sure if a four-way stop is the answer, that's why we're...
Well, there's already two stop signs there.
How many?
Two facing this way.
Right, so we'd have to do the Looking Glass then.
So, yeah, it's proposing a four-way stop, so this would need to go to the Traffic Safety Committee?
Which is a problem.
Pardon me?
Which is a problem, we don't have quorum.
Yes, so...
Why do we need to send it to a Safety Committee meeting that can't meet?
Well, that's the typical process that this would go through, is it go through the Traffic Safety Committee.
Typical.
Other than that, it would be then based on a staff recommendation to council and council acting on it.
Okay, that's an alternative.
And that would come from Public Works?
Good.
Do we know anybody there?
I will bring up just when we talk a little bit about the drainage, because I know that there's some reverse drainage growing on there, and that middle of that intersection is unraveling. So one of the things we're looking at this next fiscal year is addressing that drainage and that intersection there, because it is coming undone from the road water, basically, all the roof drainage. So that's one of the things we'll be looking at, and whether or not how creative we can get on that one. But we are looking at this fiscal year. Just wanted to let you know.
Is that something that we could consider a four-way on, or are we getting ahead of ourselves?
You know, we'd involve all the PD and everybody else like we would do. Okay. We'd sit down and review and look at it. Typically, you know, this is the process you got to go through.
You're going to want to know what kind of costs are involved to do it. It's more than just putting stop signs up. You know, potentially if we have to redo the intersection, for example, so that we get paint.
Well, the reason we'd like it done, it isn't. It's because of that hill.
Yes.
Which is to the left of our house. That's up the hill. Before we over here, but this is just crazy.
Yeah.
One quick question. Do you have a school bus that goes by there that makes a stop in the area?
Yes, on that. There is a big yellow...
At the intersection.
At the intersection, but there are no signs.
It's also then a matter of school safety. School safety for the kids.
That's why I'd like to see crosswalks in there.
Well, that's why I'm asking the question.
Oh, yeah. There also should be a school bus sign.
Okay, well, they're working on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Steve.
Steve Johnson, Teal Street. Part of the SRST program for the school safety
schools
has in the layout for that, there is action to be taken at that intersection.
Okay.
For signage. I believe it's a flashing yellow light or something in the overhead.
It's for a school zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the safe route. So when do we kick that off?
That'll be a couple years down the road.
So currently the only things that are proposed at Apollo Court and Looking Glass.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. And Plum are new pedestrian ramps on the four corners. There are no elements of stop signs or crosswalks or any of those types of things. Just new pedestrian ramps.
A lot of things have happened when we put a four-way stop in. Then ADA stuff kicks in, and we got to do the ramps for the sidewalks and all that kind of stuff. And
those will be taken care of.
They're already there.
They're already there
on all four corners, in all eight directions.
On those two heading into town.
Okay.
Well, in review of that, the ones that are there that have been there for some time may not be ADA approved.
Yeah.
That's what you see going continuously on down here on Douglas, with the state and their contractors getting those ramps to be ADA approved and meeting all the requirements. So there's very strong potential they don't meet those requirements. But
what's the tolerance on those, Mark? 3/16 of an inch or something?
Let's just put it this way. You stand a strong case of being sued if you don't do them right. So, and they're the...
Well, that's on you.
Yeah, they're, I mean, they're...
Well, thanks.
That's why the state is continuously going over them with their contractor.
Okay.
Okay, anybody else like to speak to council? I didn't really view the meeting, I was just being funny, or trying to be. Reports, board commissions and committees and schools. Anybody here? Public Works, department reports. Mr. Andy Howell.
Mayor, councilor, good evening, members of the audience. I can use this. I don't know if it's too loud. Sometimes people say I have a loud voice. I don't know. So just kind of an update. We got the community center roof, which we're, this has been a long process getting the community center roof done. We had the roof toppers work on this roof, and the total price of the roof, we added actually the entry or the cover here, and then the entry coming into the building, we had a lease there, so that was included. We are $67,726.06 below the budgeted amount of $292,100. So
almost enough for a snowplow.
Almost enough for something good. Maybe a four-way. So we're excited about that one. This is this will be huge. We have the punch list items that still have to come through. So we'll have the punch list items, the final walkthrough. It looks pretty good. We got the new skylights. I know the last time you're in the library. It's one of those things, you don't, unless you're in the library and you look up. So if you're ever next on your library, walk in and look up at the skylights. They're brand new. You can see the flashing around. It's all updated, nice. We have a nice new roof. It's nice and white. And in the summer, you have to wear glasses or sunglasses because it's that bright. So it's pretty exciting about that one. We have the community park pavilion. Seen more with Medea's. They're preparing a bid package, which will be coming up for a new pavilion at the community park. Right now, we have... seen tasked with the Medea several projects, and we wanted to focus in on this community center roof, which is a large, costly project. So we wanted him to be able to take the time for inspections and things and make sure this thing is coming to fruition, and he's on top of that one. So we'll roll now into the community park. So that'll be moving forward. We have from Wake Up and Plus Donations $126,127. And including the $10,000 from the city, bring the total amount to the park grant expense account to $136,127. And that'll all be geared towards the pavilion. So that'll be next fiscal year. We work on a fiscal year, not a calendar year. So the next fiscal year starts July 1st. So we're preparing budgetary things like that. So that'll be the number we'll be looking forward to get the pavilion done. So wanted to kind of update council on that. The Vista Gas Replacement Project, there's a little bit left to do on the west side. You got to, you kind of see there's an outfit called Hydromax, and they have their CCTV unit, and they're going out, and it's part of the cross-bore program. So they are identifying any borings, that potential borings into a sewer main, for example, which is ours. So they'll go in there, and they'll checking for any cross-bore and then replace the gas lines. So you'll see that Hydromax CCTV banner. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but that's Hydromax. It's not the city of Winston to say Hydromax on the site. And that's for the cross-bore program, which is identifying any lines into a main line. And why that is so critical is if we have a gas main through a 12-inch sewer main and we're flushing that line, because we do our annual biannual flushings, if we're flushing a main and we hit something, is it plugged up? So you just ram on it. I mean, if we have a nozzle with the 2,500 pounds of PSI, it's got a cutting edge and different attachments to cut through items. So we'll potentially hit that, and that could not be good, of course. So they monitor that, and then now that the council's allowed us an updated CCTV equipment, we can actually go in and we'll hit a line, and we'll come back with our camera, put our camera in there, and do an internal inspection and determine, is it a crossbore? Is it a protruding lateral, or what that case would be? But that's just an update for Vista. Just wanted to let council know on the Vista moving forward.
And are those the guys that were on Douglas?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. And they're finishing up west, and they'll be rolling over east side. So it'll be it'll be interesting on the east side. The west side of the town is a lot of newer piping and things on the west side. The east side of town, unfortunately, is a lot of older drainage, a lot of older piping. It's even older than the west side. So we're keeping our fingers crossed we don't find too many bad things. We've already just ran across the 110-foot, 24-inch rotted culvert that we had to replace, unfortunately, that things pop up. Kind of want to get an update on the West Side Sewer Roadway Improvement Project for the 22-23 fiscal year. Peridar is doing the sewer mains and lines, and they're installed on Rose and Sherry. They're into Willie's. Behind Willie's, there was a main line back there that's been put in with a new manhole. So we've got a little bit more work to do there, so they're moving forward on that one. They've actually got the 12-inch new storm line installed on Rose. That's been an open ditch. For those familiar with the Rose area, it's an open ditch drainage, which open ditch drainage is, you know, back in the day, that's what we did. We try to avoid those and clean them up when we can with the monetary monies that we have to work in the system. So we have a 12-inch pipe in there. That'll kind of clean up the areas. It's nice for the homeowners. And I did want to share with council an interesting little tidbit. Typically, when we deal with homeowners, they're usually upset. They're very complimentary. Sometimes, but not all the times. But so we got called over there on an issue, and we went over to Rose Street, and the individual was just not real happy with the city and the lack of things going on and whatnot. And I said, well, ma'am, I had my city shirt on. And I said, I'm actually with the city. And I represent. She goes, oh, you don't work for this company? I said, no, they're actually working for the city of Winston, Peridar. So they're doing the work here. And then she became kind of apologetic and kind of backtracked a little bit. And then she called back the next day to the office and wanted to apologize and just say, hey, well, how much she was thankful for the work. She goes, I've been living here for years and years, and nothing's been done. I said, well, please share that with the city council, because you know, the council makes the hard decisions on these projects, and they're really expensive. Even the smaller ones for us are super expensive, and it takes all we can do to muster up enough funds to do those. So it was always kind of nice to hear a positive improvement. And just kind of a recap on this project. It's about 915 feet of 8-inch sewer main, about 15 site sewer lateral connections, 10 manholes, doing some pipe bursting. Is probably 687, close to 700 feet of total pipe bursting. We'll be doing some pipe bursting on Glen Court. On Abraham and Looking Glass, there's a 14-inch trunk line that's there that's AC pipe. It's old pipe. It's outlet is useful life. It's a high-flow area. That's one.
Excuse me just a minute. Does everybody understand what pipe bursting is? That's when they drag a bigger pipe through a smaller pipe and replace it that way. It's a pretty efficient way to go if you don't have a lot of laterals coming into it.
Right. Thank you. So we got the pipe bursting going on. We have the road reconstruction on Rose and Sherry within the sewer replacements and reconstruction of Glen Court. That cost is $876,142. This is for the 22-23 fiscal year, which the contractor's hoping to have this completed this fiscal year, but the weather has just been crazy. Now we're down again another week. So it's just been nuts. And then they get into this saturated ground on Rose, and they're having to sub down to get to some solid ground. So we're dealing with water, we're dealing with inflow, we're dealing with these things, which makes the job somewhat challenging sometimes. We have a 10% contingency. We added that for a total of $963,756. And I kind of want to recap a little bit and go back a little bit. So that's our current project. We're also working on the sewer siphon, which we're going to discuss a little bit later. But the sewer siphon's another $856,000 we have kind of set aside for that project. I could be off on numbers. I'm dyslexic and get my numbers twist sometimes, so please bear with me. So we have that project going on. On the east side sewer, we want to talk about for the 21-22 fiscal year. That was approximately 1,400 feet of 8-inch sewer main, 6 manholes, 25 site sewer connections, a little bit of stormwater improvements. The paving of Ronald Jorgen and Theodore, that was $630,000 for that project. That was a 21-22. We did the downtown sewer improvement project in the 19-20 fiscal year. That was 630 feet of pipe, 8-inch pipe, with approximately 12 sewer laterals, and reconnected with 5 manholes. There was no paving. That was right behind the Elephant's Walk. Everybody's familiar with that. One of the things the city wanted to do, we identified that section of mainline as needing outlive its useful life. So we wanted to get in there ahead of this project and kind of clean things up for them. So we went in there, replaced our mains, and did that work. That was $193,000 at that time period. The 18-19 fiscal, we did the new triplex snow pump station, which is it's a hat hanger. We call them one and dones. We try to do a one and done to save the city money, to save the residents money, instead of trying to go in and on the cheap, and then you have to go back. So that one, we kind of hit council, kind of reflect on that one. That was some interesting times. Things popped up. That was over 1,000 feet of mainline on Thompson replaced with the manholes, new air vacs, 3 30-horse triplex station there. The station was built to accommodate any future growth for the next 50 years in the city of Winston. We won't be touching that station other than mechanical type pieces and upgrades. But as far as the design, the size, the scope, looking forward into the future growth on the west side of town, it's built accordingly to that size. So wanted to share that little bit of information. That was $1.2 million, so quite a chunk of money. We're currently, and I'll just talk about our collection system. The map's not up there. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, so we have, there's in our collection system, we have over $20 million worth of work that's been identified in our sewer collection system. That doesn't include any stormwater. So that's just identified collections. I believe that number's on the shy side. And it's not totally accurate, because we have more lines and things that we find, and we have areas of town that don't currently have a gravity sewer. So they're on, could be on steps and or septic. So we're looking at other areas to improve. We have over 30 miles of gravity piping, 2.8 miles of force main, and over 700 manholes and 3 large pump stations and 47 step pump stations. So those are little mini, some folks have the step systems, so they're little mini pump systems on your property. So we have that one. And I kind of want to give a little bit of installation cost, kind of the ballpark. It's approximately $250 a linear foot for 8-inch pipe up to 8 feet deep to install. It's 300 linear foot average on an 8-inch pipe, 8 to 12 feet deep. They were just average install costs. As you can kind of see, I wanted to share the numbers a little bit with council on the tracking of numbers, how things have, it's kind of just crazy. I mean, you try to put a number together, and we'll do a budget number for this number, and the thing's grown because of price and pieces. Anyway, sorry for rambling on, Mayor. I just wanted to give.
That's fine, Andy. Just real quick question. What's the deepest run of sewer line we have, and where is it located?
I think the elephant hole off of, that's part of this project. We call it the elephant hole because the safari ties into it, so we just call it the elephant hole. It's probably 18 feet deep. So we have a few fairly deep ones that are, and up off of Safari Estates, it's ever bit as deep as that, maybe a little deeper. Because on our truck, we'll have all of our vac tubes all combined, and with the trunk laying all the way down, we can barely reach the bottom. So
so the bottom line is that we're faced with a great deal of money outlay for updating.
I think updating is a rather...
Yeah, I just,
term.
Yeah, yeah. We've got some, you know, and I wanted to also share the fact that we made some really good improvements. We've are attacking the best we can, and just wanted to share with council kind of where we're at in the collection system.
So what it boils down to, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have to be looking at sewer rates. Okay. Yeah, we're looking at lines that are, 50 years old, if not more?
Yeah.
That are literally...
Those are the young ones.
And those are the young ones. Failure would be, shall we say, 20 degrees below or above catastrophic.
all sewage in the streets?
We have actually have some terracotta lines left in the city up on the east side. We're installed in the 50s.
So, Your Honor, if I may, so we have around 20, estimated at $20 million worth of sewer improvements that need to be made. In the collection system, we also have a treatment plant that is nearing capacity and is going to need to be expanded in the not-too-distant future, as well as needing some treatment changes to meet the new requirements of coming out of EPA. So, and one of them is dealing with temperature. So even though our water currently leaving the treatment plant is a lower temperature than what's in the river, we still have to treat it to a point where it actually affects the temperature in the river. Well, we're a very small portion of that stream going in there.
When
so,
you say affect the temperature, you mean down?
Yeah, we've got to lower the temperature in the river. So we're not sure what the answer to all of that is, but we have plugged in another $5 million as our share because we share that plant with Green. So there's a lot of money coming in sewer coming down the road.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate your update. Community development and planning. Mr. McIntosh, what do you have?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. I just want to touch on a couple of things. Our stormwater mapping grant is kind of in full swing. We have our engineer that's orchestrating that. She will be at the county in the next couple of days calibrating her equipment so that she could come in. So the stormwater mapping grant allows us to facilitate a program so an engineer can come in. She can use her equipment to help us figure out and put down on a map what our storm system looks like currently. And that will help with a number of different issues in terms of its expansion, the retention of the existing system, and including replacing elements of it, but also our total maximum daily load program that we are required to adhere by through DEQ, which is essentially the environmental components of what goes into the storm system and back ultimately into the river. So this week she'll be at the county calibrating her equipment prior to coming into the city and start doing some field work and data collection. The other thing I wanted to fill the council in, if you can recall the last council meeting, you passed a motion and approved Resolution 23-1078. That was a ballot measure, forwarding a ballot measure for recreational marijuana allowing in the city to the November election. The general elections for ballot measures only happen in even years. So essentially after a conversation with the county clerk, there's some information we wanted to share with you. There's a couple of different options we wanted to communicate to you that we were hoping you can choose one. So the option this year is we can push the ballot measure and have a special election, but there would be a cost associated. The cost would be $1.44 per registered voter, and the city of Winston has 4,241 registered voters currently, so that would come out to about $6,100, plus an additional $1,000 for our attorney to write the ballot measure. There's also a number that I think is important and prudent for us to pay attention to. A special election this year would typically has about a 21% participation rate. And that's a number that's important because when you're pushing a vote out to the public, you want high numbers because you want a realistic idea on what the public wants in that regard. So the second option is that you could push the ballot measure to the May primary election next year. And that, if you do that, it would push the cost down to $1.20 per registered voter, which is typical when you do these ballot measures. At that point, the participation rate is typically about 40%, so it goes up. Or there is a presidential election next year, which typically has is the focal point of participation above 70%, and that would also be at the $1.20 per registered voter, which comes out to about a little more than $5,000 plus the $1,000 for attorney fees for the ballot measure.
But the negative would be on both of those other two options.
that the ballot measures appear at the very end of the ballot?
The ballot measure appears at the end no matter what. So when you have a long ballot, for example, through a primary where you have lots of options for who's taking office, you typically get a little bit of a ballot fatigue once you get to the end of your, I'm sure we've all experienced that. You're going all the way through and, by the end of it, you're a little bit washed up in that regard. One of the pluses for doing a special election in terms of this November, the ballot measure would likely be one of the only things on there. So that we would have somewhat of a smaller ballot in that regard. But if the council is looking for a higher participation rate, it's...
I have a question. We've put it on the ballot once already. Do you think that our population has changed so that they will vote differently? And we put out all this money for a second vote?
I have not looked at the last, so it was about a 6% spread last time in terms of voting for it, against it. It did fail. The approval for the taxation portion overwhelmingly passed, of course we know. So we can look into the intricacies of that. In terms of our population, we have not gone up in a significant amount. We have not had a significant amount of people move into the city.
We'd be throwing at the minimum 5,000 something?
Mm-hmm. 5,089 to be exact.
I think one of the things we need to at least look at when we consider this is that possibly an education program might serve us well, that we're not trying to encourage the use of marijuana as much as recognize that it's already in our town.
Do you still think that by putting it on the ballot that people are going to change their mind? They already know they don't want it.
Well, I think if an educational program came through, the thing you got to look at, counselor, is that we're leaving, they're buying the stuff somewhere. They're getting it in Rosewood,
right,
they're getting it in Myrtle Creek. We're leaving between $35,000 and $70,000 on the table.
I agree. I said last time it wasn't my choice to have voted the way they did, but they did. And I am a representative of the people, so I voted with them. Not that I agreed with them, but what the people wanted.
Okay, that's another way of looking at it.
And that's what I see happening now. We're wasting money when the people have already spoken.
Yeah.
The population hasn't changed.
But maybe their views have.
And he could use the 5,000.
Maybe their views have.
Your Honor, if I may.
Please, Mr.
This is an interesting thing because it's a ballot measure, but it's not an enforceable ballot measure. It's what's known as an advisory vote. It's where we go to the citizenry to get an advisory vote on how you feel about it because the action is actually embedded in your city council. The state has said, City Council, you have the authority to enact it under your own rules. But the City Council is chosen because this is such a sensitive issue and we're dealing with drugs in the community to go out to an advisory vote. And that's what happened last time. The advisory vote said, no, we don't want it. And so that's what the council followed through with. This would be the same type of a vote.
So what you're saying is we could go ahead and just enact the ordinance now.
You could. You would have to enact it afterwards, after the advisory vote. You'd still have to enact it.
I mean, as of today, considering the last advisory vote, we could do it anyway.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It might be political suicide. But
no, that is.
I'm not running again.
That is a councilmatic process, you can take action. But the question being, because the resolution was passed, kind of the direction in terms of amending that and which election you want to, if you still want to push the ballot measure to an election.
Let's table that for another day.
Okay.
Just one thing and point on that, though, is that ballot was a couple of years ago, and people's memories, including mine, by the way, is somewhat relatively short in that.
Thanks for your honesty.
I'll remember that. Anyway,
we'll see.
So the thing is that if we went ahead and enacted that now, it's using an awful lot of hindsight a couple of years back. And I would be quite reticent to put an ordinance out after something that's passed a couple of years ago. My personal opinion is that it may not hurt to have a fresh look at it.
I'm not saying we should.
I understand that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just
making that point clear. That's all.
Thank you.
Well, the city definitely could use the money. Definitely we need that extra because we lost the money from the motel that left.
Yep.
We definitely need that. But that was put out to the public. And I don't know if everyone listened. But yes, you're right. I'm with you. Everybody around us is selling it. Every city around us is making money from the state for selling it. So even though we don't have it here, because we don't want it here, we are losing money. But yet people are still going to Roseburg, Myrtle Creek, wherever.
They don't have to go to Roseburg. They can go to my back door. And they draw it by the tons there. So that's the one I just bitched about earlier.
You mean commented on?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I actually.
Thank you. Thomas, anything else?
Nope, that's all, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bauer.
I just tested negative for COVID. That's all I've got after having it for the last 12 days.
Do you know that on CDC anymore, all you have to do is wear a mask if you've been exposed?
Is that right?
That's a new ruling, yeah.
I didn't think you got home.
Yeah. No.
You don't have to be quarantined.
Anything else, Mark?
That's all I've got.
Okay, seeing no old business, new business. Well, we get to appoint a budget officer. Who are we going to saddle with that? Is that going to be Ms. Munson?
That would be correct, Your Honor.
So do we need a motion on that?
Yes, we do.
I move that we designate Ann Munson as our budget officer.
Second. A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same side. Okay, I think we had in our packets, I don't know if you have any handouts here, but we had the budget calendar. I get it right, David, you want to look at it here?
Yeah.
As long as nothing's on a Saturday, I think we're golden, except for the last one.
Oktoberfest?
Well, that's the beginning of it, never mind. So you good with that?
Yeah.
Any comments on that?
I'm good.
Sorry?
No, I just won't be here on the 17th.
Oh, wait a second. 27th. We're going to be gone. 27th.
Well, but that's the budget committee review.
We're going to be in Seaside.
Yeah, that's when we just, basically we just pass out the budget.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And that really doesn't require our presence.
Okay.
Any comments? Questions? Need a motion?
Yep.
Make a motion that we set the budgetary schedule.
Looking for a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same side. You had us in suspense there, Alicia. Okay, we're going to set any council workshop dates. Let's go with one next week, or next 2 weeks. Any questions?
What date?
17th, you're gone.
Yep, I'm gone.
I want to have this meeting so we can talk about it, John.
Great. Get it all out.
Any other comments
for,
on?
For the same discussion we have, or
well,
today.
Yeah, we'll probably revisit the homeless issue again, see where we are with that. We may have something else by then too. Let me make them up in item D. So let's have a workshop on the 17th, please, Mr. Bauer.
You've got it.
Right, probably right here again, eh?
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Here, Dory. Oh, wait, you won't be here. Okay, so anything else on that? Item D, discussion on the city sewer deficiencies. And Andy and Mark Thomas are going to fill us in because
I'm going to bring this over to where everybody can see all the red.
We kind of opened the door to that and discussed the numbers in general. The map that you have over here shows the lines that are the principals that are in need of replacement. I believe they're in red, which is a great deal of the existing system. So again, our study to date has indicated around $20 million in collection system replacement cost. What we've done to date is we've established, or we haven't established, but we've gone through the process and we're closing in on establishing a system development charge, which is for all new connections to the system. We're in a 90-day holding or waiting pattern on that before we can officially do that, which will increase the cost to new connections to the system. So if you build a new house, then, or a new business, you would be responsible to pay system development charges. That's what that's talking about. So that's one portion of the amount of money that we need to do replacement with, but it's a very small portion. And it comes over a questionable amount of time. It could be tomorrow or it could be 20 years from now. So when it gets right down to it, it's going to have to come from rates. And to that end, there's a number of different strategies that are employed to get there. And a lot of it depends on how much grant money is available, what low interest loans look like in comparison to a pay-as-you-go type scenario, and how much you want to accomplish in any given year. Do you want to accomplish 5%, 10%, 20% of the required replacement in order to ultimately get to a system that is now fully functional and not in risk of collapse. So the last thing you want to have is, you know, anybody wants to have at any time is flush the toilet and nothing happened. So the worst case scenario is when the main line is collapsed for some reason and it takes an extended period of time and cost to get in there and do an emergency repair. So those are some of the difficult decisions that council is going to have to make. Questions about whether we're going to do a rate study or not do a rate study in order to support the rates going forward. One of the things that the state did is that for all cities that operate utilities, which is most of them, they put the responsibility to pay for those improvements on the council. So we won't have to go through a general obligation bond type process where you go out to the voters for a vote. Those bonds are paid for from rates which are set by your city council in our case. So we would do revenue bonds versus general obligation bonds, for example, to pay for these improvements. And that's all based on, you know, what's out there for grant money. So right now we have a process that we go through with the state called a one-stop process. So anytime we have a project, we take it to this body, which is all the financing groups that are out there, and try to determine which way is the best way to finance it, whether it's low interest loans or grants or forgiveness. So for example, when we did the pump station here a few years ago, it was $1.2 million. Well, we got $500,000 in forgiveness from the state for that process project by going through this process. So there are ways to reduce the overall cost, but the bottom line is it's going to be cost and it's going to be significant. And so we need to establish those strategies and establish then what the rates are necessary to be put in place to do that. For example, in 2014, we went through a similar process. And at that time, the engineer said, you need to increase your rates $1 a year in order to fund these improvements. We increased it $1 a year 1 year, and then that was the last time.
Please be more clear on who we was at that time.
Okay, so the city council...
We weren't here at that time.
The city council at that time chose to do that. In fact, most of us weren't here. So, Andy, you were here. Okay, God, so Andy was here. but anyway, the council chose not to do that. In fact, the following year decided to scrap that whole program and not increase the rates. So,
Mark, I'm not clear on that. You mean that for 1 year they put in the rates up, they charged, and the next year they took that back and put it back down again?
No, they kept it at the $1 increase, okay. But didn't increase it anymore.
Okay.
So it just stopped. Nothing has changed since that point. We're still at that point today. So although we have more lines that are required to have to be replaced. So it's always an interesting decision that has to be made when it comes to rates, because it impacts all of us that, you know, live here in the city. So you know, it's always that, you know, that difficult decision. The council has been elected to make that decision for you, or to help make that decision for you. So, of course, that will come with public hearings where you'll have the opportunity to voice your opinion on the strategies and decisions that will ultimately be made by your city council in regards to this, but it is coming, and we just want you to know that it's coming.
Mr. Bauer, in reference to the 2014 increase, there was a rate study then at that point in time, correct?
That's correct.
Conceivably, we could act on that rate study today. Not today, but soon, correct?
Well, if you agreed with everything that was in it, I mean, you're now dealing with way outdated numbers, because prices
are also, 9 years behind.
Right. And so you're really looking at a whole new picture today than what you were looking at back then.
Okay. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, in some of these instances, if you get a grant or a low interest loan, they actually tell you what your rate has to be to repay that. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. That's
so
correct.
We don't necessarily have the final say if we went out and got a low interest loan or a grant or something else to help us out. We might be forced to raise rates anyway.
No, that's correct. Your funding agency wants to make sure that you are liquid when it comes to your financing. So they want to ensure that you have rates in place so you can pay back loans accordingly. So yes, absolutely.
So it could be substantial at that point.
I'm sorry.
A rate increase could be substantial at that point.
That's correct. It could be.
Thomas, what's the rate in Oakland?
The rate in Oakland? Well, the city and the sewer are together, but it's a minimum of $150.
And
Myrtle Creek 60 for their sewer.
Yeah.
And we are
41.
41.50.
We're at 41.50. So actually, we're on the low end of the scale. If I remember right, I think like Glendale is $102.
They're up there.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we ask a question?
Absolutely.
Of your $60, what is that straight sewer? Of your $60, is that straight sewer?
Myrtle Creek, I believe.
Because we all pay $52.
Yeah.
Right. The
41 is the sewer.
Okay, so
60 in Myrtle Creek is the sewer.
Is the sewer. Okay, thank you, sir. That's what
that's my understanding anyway.
Right.
Okay, that's what I want to know, because we were like, wait, we pay 52.
Yeah,
and our there's
we use that as a clever way of getting fees paid from you guys.
I know that. I'm sitting here doing numbers in my head. Going,
but see, that's also the public safety fee. That's the stormwater.
Yes,
fee.
Yes, I know.
So if you want to paint a little brightness on a dark cloud, okay, we are actually cheaper in our sewer rates than a lot of the cities in comparable size.
But also the amount of work we need done is considerably more.
Right, but we were asking if the 60 or the 150 would be, is that flat?
Well, your 150 is water and sewer?
Sewer and water, yeah.
Right, it's but of that, what of that is other fees? Drain off,
stormwater, yeah. It's everything. And Oakland doesn't have really much of anything additional. That they don't have a transportation fee. They don't have a storm. It's really just the sewer and the water.
Thomas is on the council in Oakland.
We're just trying to get a perspective here.
Yeah.
From
And at the same time, every utility is different. They're different in their makeup. They're different in their maintenance schedules, what they've done, what they haven't done over the years. It's all totally in. Another big part of it was what grants were available at the time that some of these cities made their improvements. For example, in the before 2000, there was a lot of federal money available to replace plants with. And that was a big cost of these charges that you see out there, was replacement of and rebuilding plants. After that date, it all dried up. So right now, our understanding is there's a lot more federal grant money becoming available. It hasn't necessarily shaken out yet, but it's coming. We'll see for sure if that's true or not, but you know, one of our big strategies is to get grant funding for as much of this as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you're going to do said rate study and decide that you do need to increase these fees, which I don't foresee it not happening the way that you guys are going with the damage that we have, you also need to take into consideration, I pay $1 on my personal for your drainage fee, and I pay $25 for my business fee.
Well, the joys of small business ownership, huh?
Yeah, joys.
Been there, done that.
When you place that on to that business, said business has to raise their prices, and then in turn loses business, which makes business go out of your city. When you're doing your, I know it's a vicious cycle. I understand that completely.
It's not an easy question to answer.
Yeah. So, but when you're doing said study, kind of take that in consideration and not try and dump the extra on the businesses that you know have to pay it no matter what to try to stay in business and spread it out amongst everybody.
Well, that's how the sewer rate will work. It will be meted out as
right, but it ain't meted out on your water runoff.
Well, you have you have a lot of asphalt there. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm just saying.
I mean. But like I said, there's not going to be any easy answers with these questions, and I guess our choice is that we can let it all percolate out into the streets, into the storm water, and go right to the river.
I just said you guys don't have an issue, and it's probably going to be rate increases. Yeah. I was asking to consider that I'm one person trying to pay.
One thing that you can rest easy with, that everybody up here pays them too.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing it to ourselves, so it's not easy for any of us.
So you know, you're a small business owner.
Not anymore.
But you work.
Yeah.
So you know that if we get higher rates.
I get it on everything.
And I have a step system, so I pay even more.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions? Any more discussion on the sewer deficiencies and. Andy, do you have anything you want to add?
I think we pretty well covered it.
Well, you did a good job today.
Nice job, Andy. Appreciate all that. All that history really helps, so we can kind of understand what work has been done. And
you're welcome.
I think a lot of it has happened in the last 5 to 7 years. A lot of the stuff that we've had to do has come. This can has been kicked down the road now for probably 25 or 30 years. Guess what? It's now a dead-end street, and the can's landing at the end of the street. We don't have a lot of choice. Sorry to say. Any other comments?
No, we need the sewers fixed.
Pardon me?
We need our sewers fixed.
Yes,
everything's broke down.
Anything else, guys? Okay, we're going to move on then to upcoming agenda items. Anything you want to make note of other than sewer rates? Non-agenda items from council?
Okay, so I got an email from the new coordinator for the local public safety coordinating council, which I used to be a member of, and she has asked me to resume the chairmanship for the behavioral health housing subcommittee, which I had been before. In fact, I was the only one that's ever done it.
Well, congratulations.
And
I think that's awesome.
But since when I was the last couple of years I was not on the council, so I could not represent Winston, so I was not a voted member, although I was the chairman. I'm asking if Winston wants me to be their representative again so that I can be a voter.
So let me get this straight. You want a non-agenda item to be voted on by council? You said that once before. That was biting you in the butt a little bit, Alan. Looking for a motion.
I make a motion that we appoint him to represent the city of Winston.
Need a second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Ed, your honor, if I may.
Please.
That came at my recommendation. Alan did call to request whether it should be on the general agenda or not.
Thanks,
Scott. You were set up. This was beautiful.
It's not April 1st anymore.
Yeah, but they could go live on for the whole month. Okay, anything else from council? Good of the order, check copies for our packet, claims in excess of $500. Where'd I go? Announcements. Focus. Following meetings will be held at City Hall. Next City Council meeting. Oh, that's from the minutes from the last one. There we are. Park Board, April 11th at 4. Economic Development, April 12th at noon. City Council, April 17th. Looks like it's going to be here, and we'll have a workshop prior to that at 6. Urban Renewal Agency, if necessary, on the 20th. How are we looking there?
I haven't heard anything.
Oktoberfest Committee, April 27th at 5. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
Yes, Your Honor. We do have one, and it's under ORS 192.662-E, to conduct deliberations with persons designated by the governing body to negotiate real property transactions.
Thank you very much. We'd like to ask you all to leave now since you can't be part of this. Thank you very much for attending. You can wait in.